to be here at Calvary.
Yeah, man.
And I did questioning some, and I said, I was here a long time ago with our church choir at the Baptist Tabernacle, about the time we got started good or something. But anyway, what I was thinking was, you know, they've just got a sweet, sweet spirit in that church. It must be His presence, don't you think? Amen. You ever hear Edgar Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Brother Edgar Thomas, he was with us some in revivals, and we were with him. But he told me, he said, Brother Moody had preached, the first time he preached with us, he said, you've got a wonderful spirit in this church. He says, you've got to get it out of here, beyond those doors and those walls. And he said, if you'll do that, that's what you got to concentrate on, all right? And it's here, he's here, but he don't want to stay locked up in here. He wants to go out with you and with me whenever we're going to come. And it's just a sweet place to come, you know? I've enjoyed it so very much, just remembering the other times here and what a blessing it is. My goodness, we've been in services all day today. We had started 9:30 this morning, Sunday school, and then church. And our pastor, you know, he doesn't always go by the time. And he goes by, somebody said, the right time, the wrong time, and his time.
Amen.
And he said, I'm his dad, so that I must have trained him like that. And I said, oh, no, he's a lot better than I was. But what a blessing. We went over to, first time we've been to a black church in a long time. But we went down there this afternoon. Pastor David was going to be preaching. And we went down there to that black church on 142, James Paschal Baptist Church, I believe. And we just had a great time down there.
Amen.
They had a black and white day today.
Amen.
Black and white day. They wanted to have a 100 blacks and 100 whites, you know. But they were just excited about it. Wanted us all to wear black ties and emphasize black. So I got a black tie here.
Amen.
And it's got fish hooks on it. And somebody asked me, said, oh, what's that fish hook for? Now, you'd have to not know the Bible at all, you know. You didn't know what a fish hook is, you know, represents. And I said, that's what Jesus made the promise. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. And I'm wondering about it. I said, I think maybe. He said, if we follow him, he'll make us fishers of men.
Amen. Come on,
and according to the number of fish that's being caught, there's not many going and catching.
Amen.
Right? Amen. No, we're just not going after them. And like God, like we ought to be going, you know. We ought to go get them while we can.
Amen.
And there's a lot out there. And I appreciate all of your prayer requests. Reminded me of Brother Thomas because he said to us there at the church, he said, you know, I believe that more sick, you have more sick people here in prayer requests than any church I've ever been in. And I said, well, we just try to keep up with folks.
Amen.
Before the week was out, he said, Brother Moody, he said, I understand. You folks keep up with sick folks and needy folks
right.
More than any church I know. And that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to do that. But it's just a real joy to be there. And I'm glad to be able to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus, you know. Now, you know this, and I know this, that Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you just think about it. I think about our church. We have a lot of people say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They believe it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But that's not all. We've got to not just live it. We've got to tell it. We can't just tell it. We've got to live it. So people know. People know. That's the sweetest place. That's a lovingest place. That's a caringest place.
Right.
He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we ought to cultivate the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You know, in love. And He loved unconditionally. And He loves, He still loves. But you and I have got to convey the message out there that the gospel. And the gospel is that God's, they say in a nutshell, that God, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now that's the gospel, you know. That's the gospel. You can tell anybody you see, and everybody you see, you and I can, that if you'll believe the gospel, what is the gospel? He says in 1 Corinthians 15 Paul said, I delivered unto you the gospel which we also received, how that Christ died for our sins. You tell somebody that's lost and on their way to hell, and you tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that He did not have to go to hell. He was buried and He was resurrected, and He lives, and He can save unto the uttermost all that will come unto God by Him. Man will just do it. Amen? But that's the good news we have. But now, sometimes people want to dress it up in all kinds of, trinkets and ideas and all that makes no sense to me or to God either one. But it's just simply that believe the gospel and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. Whenever that poor old Philippian jailer, whenever he was lost and on his way to hell and had that job and he came trembling out, God moved in upon the scene and said, well, what must I do to be saved? And you remember what he said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You believe that tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That world needs to hear it out there. They need to hear it coming from people that are really concerned about it. You know, concerned about these people that are lost. I try to get our people to not only have a concern for somebody, but let them know that you have a concern for them. You want to see them saved. You want them to go to heaven when you die. You don't want anybody to go to hell. We want them to go to heaven when they die. And we want them, and that's wonderful. But listen, you don't have to live without Him. You don't have to die without Him. You can have Him by believing God and receiving the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that we have such a tremendous message? And it just seems like people will be lined up, you know. Let me in on it. Let me in on it. And I'll tell you what, we'd have more of them doing that if we had more people demonstrating what it is. All right? That's what it is. We have that need. Well, I'm just glad to be here and thank God for the blessing, the privilege, the invitation to come. And I think everybody ought to come to Calvary, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good advertisement. Everybody ought to come to Calvary, and for salvation, and then for life the rest of their life. Amen. Well, I wanted to share something with you. You know, we was talking about. I was telling my grandson and stand up, Christopher, so they can see you. And get that little girl to stand up there next to you. Now you pray for her. He asked her to marry him, and she said she would. But we're wanting her to think about it, you know, make sure. He said they'd bring me down here. They'd drive me down here so I wouldn't have to drive at night.
Amen.
Get my eyes. But they're going to be getting married. Is it next week? A couple of weeks? About 3 weeks. All right. So just pray for them. God will keep them close to one another and to himself. And now that's David will be here tomorrow night. And that's his daddy.
Amen.
And I don't know if he got permission to come down here or not. Did you ask him about it? He probably wouldn't want you to do that. He wouldn't want you to do that. But we were talking about it coming down, and I said, well, now, Brother Plunkett said that this was going to be the kickoff of the revival. This is going to be the first service and getting ready and for a revival, all right? And then tomorrow night, then they're going to have the big preacher to come in. Really, he is bigger than I am, all right? Yeah, he's going to come in and shake up the building and the shingles and all. But we've been praying that God's just going to make it. Just what you've been praying and asking God to do, all right? God, if you'll just do what they're praying and asking you to do, God, we'll all rejoice together. Amen? And that'll be a joy and a blessing. But you know, whatever you do, I read in the Bible, you turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis 1, and it says, in the beginning, God. And I think that's a good place to start. In the beginning, God. All right? Now, a lot of people try, they're planning to get married. Before your marriage, in the beginning of your marriage, God. All right? And just go right on around. Whatever, if you're going to build a house, build a home, or whatever it is, the first thing is to beginning with God. All right? And Jesus said, you know, the fellows ought to take account of how much something's going to cost before he sets out to build it, lest he not have enough to finish it, and he's shamed, you know. But we ought to, in the beginning, we ought to count the cost and make our determination, you know, that, well, by the grace of God, live or die, sink or swim, I'm in it for the haul, the long haul. I'm here till Jesus comes or till he calls me home. And we have that assurance that one day he's going to come. And I want to share something with you in Psalms chapter 85. Now I know what brings about a revival, but I know too what hinders a revival. And I know that there's not anything. There's not anything so big that God cannot handle it to get it out of the way if you'll just throw it down. He's able to do it. And he will do it if we'll just do what he said do. And talking with them coming down over here for the meeting tonight, well then the first thing you do, I would think maybe, you know, if you revival is a refreshing, right? And there's nothing that refreshes a person like a shower or a good tub bath, you know. And they just get real cleaned up, real good, all right. And then use a little sin or something, and just don't wear your own sin. Make sure you don't have that. But get. Get something, you know, that then you're just in love with the Lord, and then you're able to go out and talk to people about the Lord Jesus. And I just believe with all of my heart. He said over there that he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Right? Now, I love to see people get saved, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's a blessing. I mean, you can just stand probably on the side of this church and get kind of stirred up just listening, you know, to what's going on. But it's a whole lot better if we just realize that if we're going to win people to the Lord, well, then we've got to be clean. We've got to make sure that we've got our message right, and don't wrap it all up and try to be a theologian or something and explaining about it. Just tell them simply how you got saved. You get saved? I called upon him one day down on Honeycutt Street in Atlanta and asked God to forgive my sins and save me. And he did it. And I know I've never doubted the fact that I was saved since then. But I want you to know now, listen, I'm not saying that the devil has not tried to tell me that God was lying about it. It's not true. I'll not go to heaven when I die. But I remember that he's a liar, and a liar from the beginning, and he's against what God says anyway. And God says, you must be born again. Every person, you and I, me. And, our subjects are people on their way to heaven or to hell. Isn't that a fearful thought? That every person we meet, every person comes in the doors, either they're saved and on the way to heaven, or they're unsaved, they're lost, and on their way to hell. What a tragedy. Now, if you just think about that, and how the gospel, how simple the gospel is. And how blessed it is to tell others about it. And be reminded that he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And your heart's broken. Your heart's heavy for someone. And pray, get somebody that's lost and get them on your heart and your mind. And just pray for them till God breaks your heart. And you get to shed some tears for their salvation. I remember, some that I had the privilege of winning to the Lord. But I think about this man. He was a drunk. And I'd been trying to witness to him, win him to the Lord. And he was going to do it one day. He knew he ought to stop his drinking. He ought to do it. And one of these days, he's going to do it. And I got a phone call one day, and he was on the, this fellow was on the phone and said, Preacher Moody, I need some help. Can you come over here? And I went over there to his house, and he had a little, one of these little two-eyed heaters there that he, in the room where he was, and had a little fire going in it. But he, in his drunken state, he had turned around and sat down on that heater. And, of course, he tried to get up in a hurry, but as anybody would do. But the thing about it was that my heart was just broken. Here's a man that I'd come to love and want to see him saved. And he wouldn't listen to me. And I got to crying and talking to him. And he said, Preacher Moody, don't cry. I'm not worth crying over. I said, oh, yes, you are. As a matter of fact, Jesus thought you was worth dying for, all right? And I got to lead him to the Lord. He got saved. But what I'm saying is, you know, we've got to demonstrate the fact that we love them. And if people know you love them, they'll listen to you better, all right? And what a joy, what a blessing it is. But if we did more weeping, we'd have in our going, we'd have more sheaves in our coming. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. It is amen. We'd do it. And somebody said, "Well, I just witnessed to everybody." Well, that's good, but you need somebody that you know that's all lost and unsaved that you can just lift to the Lord every day and ask God to break your heart. That you let him know you don't want him to die or her to die and go to hell. You want to see him get saved. And God's made all of the arrangements for it. And all they have to do is come and acknowledge their sin and ask God to forgive them or to save them by his grace. And that's how I got saved. How'd you get saved? Amen. And I read in the Bible, the Philippian jailer was told, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thine house, we get the whole house in there. All right? And then you remember the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray and he would not so much, well, he prayed, bragged on himself how good he was and how blessed he was, the world was to have him. And then this poor old publican, someone said, is that the same as a Republican today? And I said, I don't think so. But We've got a serious situation in our world, haven't we? But listen, everything's on schedule with the Lord. Nothing's off schedule. God's in charge of all of it. He's taking care of it. But anyway, this fellow, thank God that he was not as this other man over here. That I do all these good religious things. And all of those, but the other man, the publican, he would not so much as lift his face to heaven, but smote his breast face to the ground and said, God, have mercy upon me. And he asked for mercy. And the Lord, have mercy on me. And whenever he did, the Lord said, this man went down to his house justified. You believe that?
Amen.
He recognized he was Lord, and he needed the mercy of God. And he got the mercy of God. Well, there was the Philippian jailer. What I want you to see, it's not so hard to tell people, you know, that they're lost, they need a Savior. You want to see them saved. You know what God's done in your heart and in your life. Yeah, some of you can tell what God has done in your family. And a lot of people having bad trouble in their families. And they need somebody to tell them God has an answer. You know, God can fix a broken life, but He can fix a broken home, a broken family. And He will do it. But that thief on the cross, you remember what he said? He just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What was that? That was evidence of, he made evidence of his faith and his trust in the Lord. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. Well, I could give you some others, but I remember this fellow, I'll tell you about him. I saw his phone number and I got to call him. But his wife was working in our school. She was a teacher. And he was working, but he was a concert pianist player. And he played for this rock band. And then he played in his Methodist church on Sunday for the church. And he told his wife, he said, I don't mind you working there at that church, but don't think I'm going to join down there. I'm happy with my situation like it is. And so she said, he don't want to talk to you, Preacher Moody. I don't want you to talk to him. But I came in one day when he was there and was fixing to leave. And I said, have you got a minute? I just got to talk to you a minute. And we went in the room on the side off the hall there. He said, well, now, Preacher, I'm not dissatisfied with my church. I'm not dissatisfied with what I'm doing. And I'm not interested in joining the church. I said, I'm not trying to talk to you about joining the church. I just want to know, Cliff, if you're saved. And I said, I told him how I got saved. And I said, are you saved? Now you can get saved if you want to. And I told him how he could get saved, and we prayed. And whenever he finished, he held his head up. And now this fella had hair down here, and he had a beard out here, and looked like a grizzly bear or something. I don't think they looked that bad though. But anyway, he had that, and I said, well, he said, Preacher, I think you're going to have to baptize me. And I said, you mean what you said? And asking God to forgive your sins. And said, yes, sir. He said, I've never had it put to me like that. And so he got saved. Well, now, let me just tell you, the next, that was on a Monday or Tuesday. That I talked to him, but anyway, he on Wednesday night he showed up in church.
Amen.
And I was introducing the visitors, and I came to him and I said, and you're sir, like that, and he said, Preacher Moody, it's Cliff.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I didn't recognize you, fella. He said, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to look like one. And he got his hair cut and shaved. Now, do you know what happened to him? He left with his wife to go to college out in Mississippi, and where she was supposed to go. And he went out there and went to school, became a pastor, pastored a Baptist church at Oxford, Mississippi. And I heard the other day that he had moved down into some other place. But anyway, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. Praise the Lord. And you don't know how many men or boys are out here, all these young fellows over here, they may already be preachers. But you don't know how many are out there that God's going to need in these days just before the Lord's coming. And we ought to try to win everyone while we can. And we've got all the reasons in the world to do that as a nation, as a people. And I'm just glad that I know this. I know that Mr. Obama, and I know that these other men, they're not going to be able to straighten out this thing this mess we're in. But we've got to look for the architect.
That's right.
And the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
That's going to come on the scene. And he's going to straighten all this mess out. And I'm glad to know that I don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
Bless God, he's got it under control.
Amen.
And it's not going to bother me what they do down here, because I know what's going to happen up there.
Amen.
He's going to say. Look in your Bible in chapter 85. And the psalmist is recounting some of the blessings that they've had received and how God had blessed them. He says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And that was a tremendous blessing to them. Thou hast. But you notice all of these here says, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. I've rejoiced in that. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. Bless God. He says, thy people, thou hast, I've got my Bible marked up so much right there, I'm just having a little more trouble. And I've got some glasses coming. I thought it would be ready yesterday. The doctor told me, he said, I'm fixing you some that you're going to be able to help you more than what I've got. But anyway, he says, in the iniquity, he said, of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. You just think about that. That God, in his mercy for these people, and we're not Israel, but God was dealing with them, and he's given us examples in the Old Testament of what he'll do in the New Testament. And God forgives our sins, and he will cleanse us of our sins. And what a blessing. He says, thou hast forgiven the iniquities of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah, thou hast taken away all thy wrath.
Amen.
And he says, thou hast, and that's my position in the Lord. You know, I'm not under the judgment of sin. I'm not under the condemnation of the devil. I'm not there. I'm free of all of that. But I'm free of all of that because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, who loved me and died that I might live. And lives that I might never die. Praise God for that. All right. But I want you to see this. He says, turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation.
Right.
He said, because of thine anger toward us to cease, cause it to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Thank God, you and I know the answer to that, don't we?
Amen.
Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again?
Amen.
Now they had a sense of need of revival, and they were counting the blessings that God had brought upon them and how good God had been to them and their position in their relationship to the Lord. What a blessing that was. But here he gets to that verse and he says, wilt thou not revive us again? And that thy people may rejoice in thee.
Amen.
You see, the reason how you can tell that a church needs a revival is because of the not the laugh meter, but the joy meter, all right? And when we need a revival. And individuals get to that point where they need a revival. But he's saying here, wilt thou not turn us that we may be made to rejoice in thee? And what a blessing it is. We're supposed to be the rejoicing of God up and down our streets and in our homes and places, that they might know there's something different about us. If we are murmuring and grumbling and complaining, I heard of a church where they said they had somebody in that church that did that. Isn't that a shame? But you ever heard of that? Yeah. Mumble and grumble. And you see how God dealt with them. Read over there how God dealt with them in the old, it'll stop the mummering, all right. But here's the turn us. Now you know what repentance is. A repentance is a return, is a turning. All right? If you say you're saved and you haven't turned your back on the devil, it means you're still going along with him. But if you're saved, you're not going along with the devil anymore. You turn and you're going with the Lord. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. And what a joy, what a blessing it is to know that He takes full responsibility of me. And He takes full responsibility of you. We're not turned over to circumstances. God controls the circumstances in my life and in your life. We're supposed to be those people that and not wait till God has to turn us, but turn. In Ezekiel, he said, "Turn ye, for why will you die? And why don't you turn away from your sin? Turn away from your that habit, whatever it is that's hindering and keeping you out of the will of God. Then God'll bless you for it. You'll rejoice in Him. It'll make a backslider get to rejoicing in the Lord. And think about how good God has been. What God has done in my life, in my family, in my church ought to make me a shouting Christian. Amen. We ought to love everybody. The Bible says that any man that knoweth God, it's known of him. If a man knows God, well, then it's known of him. And what we need is just a lot of godly men.
Amen.
That the word gets out. They're not just plumbers or electricians. They're godly men.
Amen.
That's what God needs. Godly men. And godly men will produce godly young people.
That's right.
And with mama's help, they'll stop up the flow of the loss of young people to the devil if men will become men of God.
Amen.
Men of God. You know, a lot of things could be said about this person, but the best thing in this world could be said about a man is that he's a man of God.
Amen.
He's a man of God.
Amen.
And that's the joy. But he says here, there, that turn us. Well, now, if you wait till God turns you, then he might use something that you wouldn't like. Somebody said to me the other day, said, "Preacher Moody, I want you to pray that God will take these cigarettes away from me." Well, I've I've held packs of cigarettes for people who's going to quit, and they come back and want them, and I'd have to give them to them, or they'd kill me one, you know. You're not gonna keep their cigarettes or their bottle of booze. When I was in the service, I had a fella on our ship that drank, and we'd stopped in Mexico, and some way or another, he got some to drink, and he drank some of it, and he said, "Preacher, Brother Hudson, I'm going to give you this. I want you to put, you don't drink. I want you to put this up. Don't you let me have it. I don't care what I say or what I do. I don't want you to let me have it until we dock and I think we're heading to Wilmington, California. But after about 2 days, he said, Moody, I need a little swig of that. Just a little." And I said, "Well, you're not going to get it." He said, "Yes, I am too." And he said, "Come on, let me have it." I said, No. "You don't know where I've got it. You can't get it." But he got to the point, he's ready to fight me, you know. So I said, like this fellow that asked me about cigarettes. I mean, they'll kill you. Don't you tell anybody you'll keep it for them. If you're going to keep it for them, pour it out right then. So they can see it go, all right? But he said, ask the Lord to take these cigarettes away from me. I said, "Well, I'd rather pray that you'd be able to lay them down. Amen. Because if the Lord, I don't know what the Lord might do to take them away from me." I know some that they didn't quit till they got cancer, and then they were able to quit. Amen? Amen. So if you've got something going on in your life, that's what I'm saying. If you've got something going on the devil's giving you a hard time about, well then ask God to help you to be able to lay it down and walk away from it. Whenever Jesus asked the question, of the man and what he could do for him. And he said, "That I might be whole." Jesus said he healed him and was every with whole.
Right.
And I believe whenever we get saved, that we're every with whole.
Amen.
You know? Well, I don't need anything else. I've got all I need to survive in this world and go to heaven when I die.
Amen.
And spend an eternity with the Lord.
Right.
But if you've got something that's giving you a hard time, well then don't ask God to take it away from you. Ask God to give you the grace and the strength to be able to lay it aside. That's what he says over there in Hebrews 12, isn't it? Whenever he said, "Seeing that we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And that's what this world needs. That's what people need to see in our lives. That we're not just saying, but we're not just telling them. And I tell you, a lot of people I talk to, they've heard about all they want to hear. They want to see some lives change.
That's right.
And that's what God wants the world to see. Not just our telling. But if you've got a testimony, you can give and your life supports it. But you can't talk one way and walk another. All right? And the devil will use you and he'll put you in front of everybody to see his model work. But we can have the joy and the fellowship of being used of God. And I know I need to be through. Good gracious. But we have. I wanted to ask you. You have the joy and the fellowship, and such a sweet fellowship here in this church, and we just love you, Pastor Brother Puckett. He's been such a blessing. I said he's a blessing to be around, even if he's not preaching. You know,
amen.
Amen. And I tell you, there are some preachers you can't stand them whenever they're not preaching. All right. Amen. But here is the thing. Do you know one of the biggest hindrance to our not having revival and not really getting things done for the Lord and making an impact on the community, on the area where we live, wherever it is. You know what it is? Jesus told the disciples, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." Why?
Amen.
Because you have love one to another.
Amen.
And I know that the first commandment, you remember he said in 1 John in 5, he's talking about that we're to, if we love him, we're to keep his commandments.
Right.
Do you know that the only way that you and I have to demonstrate and to show others our love is by loving them, helping them to know the Savior, is by helping them to be able to see in your life and in my life something that they just can't turn down. They just can't. They can forget what you say, but they can't forget what you did. And to love people. And of course, that's the first commandment. But in 1 John chapter 5, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
And you and I, we're the people that God is counting on to overcome the world that's around us. You know, if you're going to act like the world, talk like the world, live like the world, well, then the world's going to think you're one of them. And you're not going to have any influence in trying to tell them otherwise. All right? But the joy is that you and I, and this is so, why do you do it? Well, the very first commandment says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and your soul, your strength." He is to be first. They ask him, "What are the two great commandments?" And one is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Amen.
That's the love of God. And you and I, we're supposed to demonstrate that love toward one another. But we're supposed to demonstrate that love towards those people that are out there that are unsaved. And they don't walk right. And they don't talk right. They don't dress right. But they need somebody that'll love them to the Lord and let them know that God loves them. That he died for their salvation. And he'll forgive their sins and save them. And make the message, we sing a song sometimes. What is it? That make the message plain, and that's what we want to do. You've got to make the message plain out there. Make it plain that you're having a great revival here this week. Let people know, man, we're having a great revival, and it's going to start tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 7:30, and let them know that you're doing, and with love in your heart and love in your eyes. Tell them you'd love to have them to come go with you. Be my guest. Go with me tomorrow night. I'd love to have you to go. And let God use you. But the first commandment that God gives is that we love him. And then he said the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we run short on that love. Like we ought to love. I'm not talking about this lust and stuff, but I'm talking about godly love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In other words, his love for them motivated his heart that he gave his only begotten Son to die that you and I might not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the promise that God has made and given unto us, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And what a blessing, what a joy it is. I was going to share another verse with you here, because in this passage, Psalms, he said, the psalmist said, Show us thy mercy, O Lord, in verse 7, and grant us thy salvation. I mean, we don't want to be in bondage to anything. We want to be free, and for God to be able to use us and work in our hearts and in our lives without any hindrance, you know. God wants us to do that. And we want it. That's what He's wanting here. He says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people. And to His saints. That's you and I, isn't it? He said, but let them not turn again to folly. All right? And this is what we need in our churches. We need this fact that we recognize that God has forgiven us and God has cleansed us, and I'm not under the damnation or the condemnation of sin,
right.
The devil and the world. I'm not there,
right.
But I'm a child of God, saved by the grace of God, cleaned up on the inside and outside, and we want to make sure we're clean inside. Psalm said in 19, he said, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And He is my strength. He is my redeemer. Is He yours? Say amen. Say He is. Amen. 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 And we can say that in here, but I tell you, this world needs to hear it out there. Where we work, the grocery store, wherever we go, wherever we have contact with people. And our family, talking on to them on the telephone. But this is the joy. But knowing that God's forgive us and God has cleansed us and all. But let's not do the folly again. All right, as He said, and God will bless us for it. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh. Them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in the land. And if there's ever been a time when we needed some of the glory of God dwelling in our land, it's this day and hour in which you and I live. Amen? We do need that. And you're the vessels. You're the only ones that God has here at Calvary Baptist Church. He's the only one that can do that. And God's given to you the opportunity and the responsibility of here in this ministry with this pastor. And what a joy, what a blessing it is to be involved in a ministry and in a work that's going to last a million years from now, for all eternity. It doesn't have no expiration date. Praise God for that. And now salvation, you might have an expiration date if you reject Him. But if you're not saved, I trust you'd trust Him tonight. Ask Him to come into your heart, be your Savior. And I, on the authority of what God tells me in this book, then He'll do it.
Amen.
He'll do it. He'll do it. How many of you know He'll do it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Do it again. It sounds so good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm saved to the uttermost. And I know that I am. Amen. And you know that. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Pastor, I don't know if you've got that. You know that song? I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am. Amen. Blood of the precious Lamb, by the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Now, how many of you really believe you got that kind of salvation? And that you're saved to the uttermost? Say amen. 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 Now, that's great, because you've got the message. You've got the ability. You can go and let folks know. You got saved, how you got saved, and you're saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Amen. We've got a lot of religion going on in the world. And there's never been a time whenever there's been so many religious groups than today. Never been a time when there's been so many attacking Christianity. Real Bible Christianity. Don't want that. They want a religion. And they're making their inroads, okay? Do it. These people who are Russellites, they just travel all up and they don't have salvation that they can offer. They don't have it. They don't know. Don't let them call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not. I'm a witness for Jehovah God, but they're not. And their witness is for Russell, who is their founder of their religion. And somebody told me, said, got upset with me because I talked about other religions. And I said, well, bless God, I'll talk about anything that gets in the way of me preaching, telling the truth about it. And it's not my fault. They're wrong. And those folks and the Mormons, they're having a heyday right now. They're having a heyday. It's not even a Christian. It's not based upon Jesus Christ and salvation at all. And that started with Joseph Smith. And you remember him reading about him? He set out and he wanted to have as many wives as he wanted to have. And so his program is Jesus has reached the point where now he can maybe go off into space and have his own world to govern and everything and have as many wives as he wants to have. That's what they look forward to, that they'll live right and do all these year things they tell them to do. And then whenever they get through and they die, well, then they're gonna be able to go and have their own little world and have all the wives they want. Well, bless God, I've got one, and I pity anybody that wants two. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying is that you and I, we have the answer. We know the answer. We know the answer. We know the one who has the answer, who is the answer. Amen. 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 Well, it's been a joy. I don't know if there's anybody here that's not saved or not. Is there anyone here that doesn't know the Lord and you'd want this pastor to come pray for you? Would you do that? You want to raise your hand? We wouldn't want to have a service like this and talk about salvation and not give you an opportunity to say, I want him to be my Savior. You see, this is the only chance you've got. You don't have tomorrow. The only chance you have. That's why the Lord said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Right. But you know, he narrowed it down even that. He said, now is the acceptable time.
Right.
You can't be sure a little later, but you can be sure right now. Amen. If you're not saved, I hope you'll do it. Would you raise your hand? Let's bow our heads. And if you'll raise your hand and just say, pray for me, let this pastor come and pray for you. Would you do that? You know you're not saved. But you don't want to die and go to hell. That's a terrible place. You won't have any friends there. Anybody, anywhere, all over the auditorium, Brother Pastor.
Jesus, appreciate the Lord. Amen. Enjoy that, say amen.
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 He said a lot.
Good.